It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be here in studio with you today. And for our audience, happy Groundhog Day.
Is it really Groundhog Day?
Today is Groundhog Day, and based on the shadow, we got 6 more weeks of rain coming.
Oh, that's no good.
Well, look, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation, and I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 21 years here, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, our guest for today is Shelly Howard, who is owner and president of College Ready, and her topic is, get this, how to send your student to college without losing your mind and your money. Shelly is a college graduate. She's a certified educational planner. She's traveled around the world helping students plan for their perfect match college. And she knows what it takes to get into Ivy schools as well as finding the best fit for a B student. Shelly believes that no two students are the same. Each student has a gift or talent and a passion that it will set him or her apart from their competition. College Ready has clients all over the world, and each one is important to them. Well, Shelly, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's exciting to be here, and your topic is just perfect. Our theme for February is life and career changes, and what bigger change have we ever gone through than to leave home and go away to college?
Honestly, can't imagine.
Yeah.
So, I guess with that in mind, I would love to share some of my stories, starting there. Is that where you'd like me to begin?
Sure. Give us a little bit of a thumbnail of your background before you started doing this.
Before I started College Ready, I was, or am, a fifth-generation Californian, straight from Orange County. I went as far away to school as possible, which was San Diego State.
Brave.
My dad gave me one choice, and he said that that's the school you're going to. I only applied there. I never took a standardized test. I was lucky enough to just apply there and get in. And then after attending college, while doing summer school and winter session and crashing every one of my classes, I managed to graduate in 4 years despite changing my major 5 times.
I've heard the 5 times change. I think I did a couple, but finishing in 4 years, that's admirable.
Yeah, it was, my dad told me he was going to pay for 4 years, so I figured I might as well figure out how to make that happen. The nice part about it is it gave me a reason to be motivated and to graduate. And so once I graduated from San Diego State, I ended as a communications major on the speech and debate team and thought I wanted to go into law and realized that that definitely was not my path. I started 4 days after graduation at Procter & Gamble. And they sent me all the way back to Newport Beach.
I was waiting for you to say to the East Coast for training, but oh, wow.
Yeah, so I relocated back to Newport Beach, and they had some phenomenal training. I spent 8.5 years with them. I ended up being an executive manager, and I had 55 people. All over California, and that's when they told me they wanted me to move to Ohio. And I reminded them that I am 5 generations from Orange County, and Ohio is never going to be a place that I would, you know, be able to thrive in. The beach is my happy place. So for me, at that point, I knew there was a crossroad, and I had just had my son. And instead of moving to Ohio, I gave my notice and took a shot at being a stay-at-home mom. That was okay until I was running every club and organization for free, hours and hours of volunteering, and realized that I needed to start my own business. So that's what I did. I became a professional photographer and went back to school. and graduated with my master's in photography and have done that 23 years now. It was a wonderful, or is a wonderful career, because it allowed me to really focus my attention on my two children and be at all of their sporting events and their other games and help them to build their dreams. And so fast forward, you know, what really changed a big part of my life was obviously the kids. But in eighth grade, my son had told me one afternoon that he wanted to be a brain surgeon.
You know, I read that on one of your websites, and I go, you know, I think I would have laughed at that. I mean, you're going to be a brain surgeon? Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much
how I reacted.
The fact
that you took it serious is amazing.
Yeah, so he was completely serious, and I asked why, and he said that he wanted to change people's lives and to help them. So I figured it would probably change over time, but I better be equipped in case it didn't. So that's really when the whole college consulting started in our life. I had both kids in public school and then private school and then public school, trying to find the best fit to get them ready for their future. And what I found is every student is different. And it's not necessarily the school. Sometimes it's the teacher. Sometimes it's the administration. But the bottom line is, it's the parent supporting the student. And so no matter what school they were at, they were able to thrive. And that's when I learned that both public schools and private schools have a benefit to many students.
Do you think that is a more recent trend? I mean, it my impression is, well, when I was growing up, parents sent kids off to school. They were gone and they came home, and parents didn't know too much about what went on, and certainly didn't do much checking or supervising or mentoring over it. But today it's sort of like, I don't think a parent can expect their child to do well if they aren't involved in it. Is that
That's
true?
Absolutely 100% true. And I think where you see a lot of success and failures is students who have support of their family. It doesn't even have to be a grandparent. It could be an aunt, an uncle. It could be mom, dad. As long as somebody steps up and takes a interest in that student via sports, leadership, community service, grades, testing, it's just so important that they have somebody to talk to about all of this stuff that's coming at them from school and what their future is all about.
So we're not just talking about financial help. We're talking about true mentoring, true supporting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So backing up a little bit, at eighth grade, I knew that it was going to be quite a road coming from San Diego State, applying to Wend School. So I went to his soon-to-be high school counselor and explained the situation and was told, quote, "Why would you want to spend that much time and money? It's just such a waste. You'll never recoup it." And I looked at my son, and it looked like somebody had just popped his bubble. He was so defeated. And I knew at that point we were going to have to do it on our own. So that's really when the reality came into play that the high schools are just not equipped. His high school counselor had 1,000 students that they were counseling. And that's,
yeah, no time to do anything.
There's just, they just didn't have the time that he needed to make a plan, to put pieces in place that he would be assured if he worked the plan, he would get into the college he wanted and off to med school.
What is your thought about whether everybody should be going to college these days?
I do not think every student is made to go to college. I have met many students where I have counseled the parents and the students. And, if a student is not an academic, if they do not like school, period, if they find that it is just not meeting their needs, that type of student may be better off doing something with their hands, such as carpentry or plumbing or mechanic or, you know, anything that is a trade school versus a traditional four-year institution.
And do you get involved in helping students select, make the decision, hey, I want to go to college or I want to go to a trade school? Or are you focusing just once they've made the decision they want to go to college?
Well, when I meet with a student initially, his parents are sure they want him to go, him or her to go to college. And so I do an assessment. We spend an hour together and I get to know that teenager and their passions, their likes, their dislikes. And if they have more dislikes of being in school and learning and more likes of a passion, it's very apparent. Now, I would encourage every student to get some sort of further education, because even if you own your own business and you can't do the financing or the marketing, your business is going to struggle. And so I encourage students, even if they want to be, you know, a salon owner and do cosmetology, it's important that they have a business degree and a backup in case they need to lean on that.
Okay. All right. So I interrupted you. So let's go back to the counselor's not exactly encouraging about stepping forward with your son and going to college.
Absolutely. So at that point, I looked my son in the eye when we left and I said, it's between you and I. So I luckily had a job that was flexible and I ended up spending about three quarters of my week researching and planning and strategizing and looking at what kind of student gets into college, why that student gets into college, what schools are graduating students sooner than others, and just started really digging into what does it take to get into a good school. And at that point, we made a plan and we picked every single class for all 4 years and we strategized as to what his passions were. He loved leadership. He loved soccer. And so we focused on what his passions were and built his plan around that. So in other words, he didn't have to change. We just had a vision or a roadmap as to how many years he was going to play his sports and what classes he was going to take when and the kind of community service he would do and the leadership that he wanted to be involved in. So we knew straight away what the 4 years were going to look like, and he worked the plan and it worked for him.
Wow. Now, was this a plan for high school or in preparation of going to college, or was it the plan once he was at college?
No, it's all in preparation. So At the eighth grade summer, which is a perfect time for students to really start thinking about college, I took him to his first colleges, let him walk the campus, let him see that it's just not a secondary high school, that there is something very special about it. I believe that kids get more than just an education by attending college. They grow and they mature. And so I wanted him to feel that for himself. So after we took him to colleges, he then got the bug. He's like, that's what I want to do. And it was very easy for him to see the vision. And so I always encourage parents, even if they have younger siblings, just to let them see what it's all about.
It's the ability to get excited about a new kind of life that you may have no thoughts about.
Absolutely.
I know when my kids were looking, we went to the East Coast, as if that's another world.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It is another world when you go and look at colleges there versus our commuter colleges, our local colleges. Not talking about the level of education, but just talking about the physical environments.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I highly recommend college tours. We're very fortunate in California. You could do four colleges in a day very easily. If you go from UC San Diego to University of San Diego to San Diego State to San Marcos, I mean, you can see so many different colleges in one day. And your student will start to see, I like this. No, that's not for me. This is the kind of school that I want to work hard for. Because I think the biggest mistake that families or students make is they don't know why they're striving hard for all A's or why they're working so hard to do well on their tests, because they don't know what the end result is.
Right. Shelly, you have a certificate.
It's a college consultant certification.
Okay, what does that mean?
So basically, when I decided that I was going to, well, backing up a little bit, when my son graduated from high school, he applied to 12 schools, got into 11, and out of those, half of them were full ride. At that point, everybody wanted to know what my plan is, or what the plan was.
Okay, let's back up a minute.
Yeah.
Repeat that once more for our listeners who are slow, because it's hard to absorb that because my brain wants to go, I must have heard that wrong.
So not only did we have a plan to work high school that he would be able to present his best self to colleges,
Yeah. We
applied strategically to 12 schools.
Okay.
And it wasn't just based on, I call them the label. It was truly based on his gifts, his talents, his desire, and the schools that he would be successful at that we could also afford. So,
see, what I hear most frequently is, well, we applied to the 10 or 12 schools that we thought we had the best chance of getting in, as if that was the only criteria.
And that's unfortunate. That is the reason why so many students are in debt right now, is because the plan wasn't put in place. The first thing we look at when I work with a student is we look at the family's financial situation. What is going to be their expected family contribution? What is their FAFSA going to look like? Are they a need-based student? Are they a merit-based student? What kind of student are they? And then we start to build their strengths up and their opportunities up, and then we can present them to the best colleges. But the strategy really comes in picking the schools, because unlike most people believe, you do not need to pay full price for college. It is absolutely not, does not have to be. And so if you pick schools properly and know the information before you even let your student apply, it gives you a whole different perspective on what schools are going to be the least expensive, or the ones they're going to graduate the quickest, or, you know, most importantly, the one they're going to graduate with a job. Because that's the bottom line when I build my student strategy, is where are they going to get the best education for the least amount of money and have a job waiting for them?
That's a criteria that I hardly ever hear when people talk about college.
Well,
you know, the least amount of money and where I'm going to get a job when I'm done.
Right.
So often it's just about, would they let me in, and will the degree, what's the network I'll have when I graduate?
Yes. And unfortunately, like I said, that's why we have so many students in debt, is because they didn't plan properly and they just kind of went to school because it sounded fun, or, you know, it was the only one they got in, or there's so many reasons why. And then secondly, they don't really think through their major. And unfortunately, not all majors are going to have a job waiting for them or be a lucrative, viable option to pay back their student loans. I have some students who would love to be, and I won't even say the major, but the reality is it would take them probably 10 years of working just to pay back their student loans. That's not a good strategy, and that's what I really help my students focus on. What's the end in mind, and let's work backwards? Because as much as I think people want to save money, they don't do the homework first. They try to figure it out at the end when the student's already fallen in love with a college for whatever reason.
Sure.
Then they have to pay the price.
Shelly, do you work with the students to identify what their major should be, or are they already coming to you with that decision made?
I would say 95% of my students have no clue. not an idea. So we, depending on when I pick up the student, if I pick them up, you know, their beginning of their high school career or 2 weeks before applications are due, I have to work the program differently. But all in all, the very first thing I do with my students is we talk about what their passion is. And if you can think of doing a job or a career where you're using your passion every single day, there would be a much happier world. So I start with the end in mind, and that is, what would you love to do? If you could do anything in the entire world, what would it be? And a funny story is, I always ask my students, give me 10 things you're passionate about. Most of them can't get past two. One of my students I met with actually held down the button and asked Siri, what is his passion?
I can't believe it.
So we have to start very basically. And if these students don't know what their passion is, how will they ever pick a major or a career that there's going to be a lifelong fulfillment?
Is it reasonable that a high school student would know what their passion is, that they want to exercise at least for their early adult life? Is that a reasonable expectation?
I think for about 25% of my high school students, very reasonable. I have right now, I guess about 50% of my students who know exactly what they want to do, just like my son did. He knew he wanted to be a doctor, never wavered. My daughter wanted to be a nurse, never wavered. But I do have students who are, they go undecided, undeclared, because they just haven't taken enough different classes and different subjects to know if that's what they want to do for the rest of their life. We do a ton of passion discussions. We do a lot of college match. We do a lot of assessments about what it is. What would be the perfect career? The problem is if they haven't done it, they may start that major, find out the reality that maybe winemaking is not their future, and they want to go into computers or something. So some of it's just work in progress.
Okay. And we're back with our guest, Shelley Howard from College Ready, talking about how to send your student to college without losing your mind or your money. And it has been fascinating. If you tuned in late, don't forget, the podcast will be available by Monday, and you can listen to it. Just go to thecoachingperspective.com. Well, Shelley, this has been a wild ride. You've taken us up to your son getting ready to apply. We talked about discovering passion. I mean, pick up the story for me.
So for most students who are not sure what their major is going to be, they have a pretty good idea. But the funny story that I always tell every one of my students is I, too, had no idea what I wanted to do. And my dad told me to be a finance major because everybody needs to know about money. So I took my first semester and I took accounting 101, and I was like, whoa, this is so not what I want to do. And I think a lot of times it just takes being in the classroom in college and being inspired by an amazing professor, or being around opportunities for a student to really find out what that passion's going to turn out to be.
Is it reasonable to expect to get out of college in 4 years when you need to spend some of those early years taking classes to figure out whether you're interested in something or not?
Absolutely. If you have a plan, just like in high school, where even though, say, if you don't know what your major is going to be, you can go undecided, undeclared, and just get your undergrad,
right,
you know, done.
Core requirements.
Yeah. Your English, your math, as you're trying, and then take one or two electives, and those electives should be something you're interested in. And in the meantime, as you mature, or the student matures, they start to really get a feel what it is that they want to do. So I would say, yes, 100%. It is doable at the right school. Right now, unfortunately, our California state schools are in such a crisis that they're capping the number of units that a student can take. Several schools locally here in Orange County at 16 units, which means there's absolutely no way you will graduate in 4 years unless you take classes at a community college or online or something that will supplement. So to answer your question, if the classes were available and the student could get the classes they needed, absolutely, it is incredibly possible. The problem is that's not what's happening to these students as they enter college.
And I would assume that's part of what you're advising them on, not just about the cost, about the ability to get in, but also about the ability to take the classes and get finished in a reasonable period.
Absolutely. So again, we start with the end in mind, and the bottom line is college is a business, and parents have to remember that they are in it to make money. So if a student stays for 6 years versus 4 years, they just got four more semesters from you or your student or loans or whatever that may be. So the bottom line is when we look at the whole financial picture of what it's going to cost to get your student into and out of college, it's critical to look at what schools are graduating their students in 4 years in the major that the student wants to graduate in. Because even a school, if it's a major that's not very popular, they may graduate in 4 years, but maybe business or engineering may take six at the same school.
Sure.
So being that my specialty is colleges, and I know colleges inside and out, I can help the family realize, based on the student's major, what schools would be their best bet financially, academically, time-wise, and just fulfilling that student's need of a college, you know, degree.
Now, you would ideally like to start working with the student, say, going into high school. Is that?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then help them select their college and plan out their, to create a college plan. Do you have much contact or any contact with them once they've gone away to college? Are you done or is...
So once a student is accepted or accepts a college, they become part of our mentoring program. And that is, we stay as close as they want us. So if a student absolutely wants a mentor to help them pick their college classes or their college plan, we will stay with them. A lot of students, by, you know, the time they get into college, feel like they've got it under control and they're gonna, you know, work with the college consultants because they only have a few hundred students versus a few thousand students. So they do get a lot more attention in college. So, you know, with that said, it's just a situational type of thing.
Let me let you get back to what you're sharing here. You've got some amazing statistics you shared with me before the show.
So the most important thing I think that families need to know is 70% of all students applying to college right now have an independent college consultant. Which is basically, I relate it to having your own private coach playing a sport.
Absolutely. Everybody needs a coach no matter what you're doing.
So with that said, it's super important to know that you're going up or your student's going competing for the same spots in a college class of students who have their own private coach walking them through this. And I'll give you an example of what that looks like. So when my students come to me after we do an assessment of their passions and what it is that they want out of life, then we go into picking every one of their classes. We talk about testing and test prep and when, and we have a schedule and a strategy of that. Then we talk about community service and how not all community service is created equal, and that can make a huge difference in the application process. And then lastly, we talk about leadership and what leadership means to them and what it means to colleges. And then we round it out with, we help them to strategize what their essay topics are going to be on and making sure that their applications are complete and ready to be submitted before they actually hit send. So what a college consultant does is guides them along the way, which reduces the stress immensely because the parent becomes now the cheerleader or support person and not the one that says, clean your room, do the dishes, and oh, by the way, are your essays done?
Yeah. So let me ask you this. If 70% of the people applying to college have an independent consultant to help them, Does that mean that it is that difficult to get into colleges today?
Absolutely. It is so, just in the last 10 years, it has gotten extremely, not only has the price gone up immensely to
that
go to
I hear
college,
about all the time.
And that's all over the news, but the competition to get into college now because of the AP and IB and honors classes and dual enrollment, a student can now get a 5.0 GPA. Where back in the day, that is not something that was ever discussed. It wasn't, the opportunities weren't there. So now we have these students coming in, especially from all over the world, who would love to come to our colleges in the United States, who are academically bringing everything they've got. They're getting perfect GPAs and perfect test scores. And so we have to teach our students, how do we compete with that? If they're bringing perfect GPA and perfect test scores, what else can we bring to set our students apart? That's what makes having a college consultant so important, because they don't take the tests. I don't go and sit in the classroom.
I imagine people wish you did.
No, probably not. So it's a strategy in the effect that what is it going to take? And it all depends on the college that student wants to attend. If their dream school is Ivy League, we have to bring everything. If that student's dream school is a Midwestern state school, then we will have a totally different strategy. The bottom line is, I prepare all of my students to be able to go to any college they want and apply. Some will be a better fit than others, and I will always advise them, do you want to be the big fish in the small pond or the small fish in the big pond? And that's a whole nother discussion.
Where is this going? What is the trend line here? Is this going to get more difficult? Is this going to get easier? What's the trend line for education? If we've got people listening who have children that are still in the elementary school or junior high school, not quite thinking about this yet, where is all this going?
So statistically speaking, the trend is just getting worse daily, in the fact that the competition is just getting that much more competitive. Students are not going to college. And with the trend of having a basic four-year degree now being the norm and not the exception, it is just going to continue to get tougher and tougher, because the colleges can only fit so many students. And so if a student wants to go to a very elite school and there's only so many spots, it's just going to be competitive. And as students continue to see what it takes to get into these elite schools, they just keep rising the bar. I remember my daughter, when she graduated this past fall, she had 1,300 community service hours, and she was sixth in her school of service hours. So they needed a minimum of 40 hours to graduate from her high school. And she thought with that many hours, she was sure to get some scholarships. And she didn't even have the most community service hours. So every student seems to elevate it, and it gets more competitive. So now you have to get creative. You can only get a 5.0 GPA. So what are you going to do? You can only get a perfect SAT score. So now what do you do? And that's when community service and leadership and the essays really play a critical role.
What is the role of the two-year colleges in this discussion? I mean, is it a negative to go to 2 years? Is it make it more difficult to transfer to a four-year? Is it diminish the quality of the education? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll answer it two ways. I will first say, back in the day, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it was a viable option. It was a very inexpensive way to get your education started. And so students who didn't have the grades to go to a four-year school, or weren't ready for a four-year school, would start at a two-year and then transfer to a four-year. Back then, you could get your classes at the community college and you could get your undergrad in 2 years. With that said, that is not the case anymore. And unfortunately, only 6% of community college students go on to a four-year institution.
6%?
6%.
That's nothing.
Wow. No. And unfortunately, this is what we're seeing. The trend is a student starts at a community college and they can't get any classes because the budgets are just so tight. So what do? They start working. And then once they start working, they buy a car. And then once they buy a car, they want to move out of the house. Once they move out of the house, they don't want to be poor and they don't want to go back to school. They get in the money trap of the wheel. Now I'm stuck. Now I have a car payment. Now I have to pay rent. I can't go back to college full time because they don't feel like they can afford it. And on top of that, students aren't able to get their classes to be able to transfer into a four-year institution. So it's very disheartening for these students who really feel frustrated that they're stuck and they don't know how to get out of it. So unfortunately, it's not what it used to be. I'm working with a student right now trying to transfer out, and most schools now require that you have 60 units to be a transfer student. To get 60 units at a junior college is a very, very challenging situation.
Okay, let's jump to the other end of the scale. What's the importance or the trend towards advanced degrees?
Such as MBA or PhD. We're seeing a lot of corporate people coming back to school. Their corporations are paying for them to go back and get their MBAs or PhDs or whatever profession they're in. That's the number one trend, I would say, is people who have gone and got their four-year degree, went out and got some real career knowledge, and then now they're ready to go back and combine the two. That is a real trend, and we're seeing a ton of that. The trend right now for undergrads is not to go directly into a master's program. They're taking what's called a gap year, and that's where they're working or they're getting career experience or they're traveling or they're doing a mixture of, and that's become really popular versus continuing on directly through to their master's.
I had just heard that term recently from one of my nephews or nieces, and it was like, a gap year? You mean you're going to goof off for a year? I mean, what was this gap year business?
And it can be truly valuable. I know there's a lot of students that I have met that have been through the Ivy League program or some very elite colleges where they weren't able to work because they were working their education and they wanted some real life work experience to add to that college degree. So the gap year can be very important to them because they only are of the education realm and didn't have a lot of work experience. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you really need both to be that perfect candidate for that job everybody wants.
Are we becoming a nation of overeducated people that don't know how to do anything?
That's a wide open question. In my opinion, no. I don't believe so. I can't speak for, the United States, but I will tell you that these kids are working really, really hard to get into college, and they're working really hard to find a job. And there's a lot of overeducated students who are struggling to find a job. And that's the part that makes me sad, because that means there was no plan in place. They went, their parents just said, pick a major, do what you want, just get a four-year degree, we don't care. They pick a major that unfortunately doesn't have a career waiting for them. And they're stuck. So what do they have to do? They have to go back and get their PhD or master's to further on that education. A perfect example is psychology. You really need to have that next level to be able to practice to make the kind of money that you need to make. And I see it all the time with a lot of similar majors. Where in business, most students graduating from business don't have that problem. They can go out and they can get a job and they can work with it.
Right.
So it really goes back to having a plan and knowing when you graduate, does women's studies have a job waiting for you? That's the type of thing that we really need to educate our students on from the very beginning.
I've asked you so many questions and interrupted you so much. I want to just do a reality check here. What do you really want to share here today that I haven't let you get to yet?
I would say the most important thing that I would love all parents to think about is, one, you don't need to be a helicopter parent. You do not need to hover and have your student in every single activity and organization. And, you know, it can be so extreme. Secondly, is teaching students just to love to read and love to learn is really the most important life-changing thing we can do for our kids. And then lastly, applying to college is nothing like it used to be, even for just my generation. And, you know, gone are the days you could buy your way into college. Gone are the days that you could apply to one college and get in and graduate in 4 years. Gone are the days of these students who started a junior college, get their two-year degree, go another 2 years and have a four-year degree. Gone are those days. Gone are the days that our students can go to a local school and get in and graduate in 4 years. So the bottom line is, I would love everybody to think about is this. Anybody can do their taxes, right?
Sure.
We all have to do them. You can do it. But if you want to do them properly and take advantage of every code and every deduction, you hire an accountant, okay?
Yes.
So same exact thing with college. You could go and do all the research that you can and potentially only make a few mistakes because it's your first time doing it. But the bottom line is, what you don't know will cost you. And that's going to be in time, in money, in frustration, in battles with your student. I always tell parents, sometimes they hire me just because they want to have their last few years with their child a peaceful, enjoyable event. And I'm the accountability partner. I'm the one who says you need to take this test. I'm the one who's asked them how their community service projects are coming, or do we need to create one, or, you know, what's their plan. And I'm the one who puts it all together so the parent then can sit back and enjoy the ride and just enjoy being their parent and supporting them and loving them and leaving the difficult part of navigating the competitive college waters to somebody who's done it hundreds and hundreds of times. And the other thing is, college consultants can range a huge amount in cost. And so I always tell parents, do your homework and know exactly what you're getting. So it all comes down to, if your student wants to go to college, you want to make sure that you do it as less stress and less money and have it be an enjoyable experience where they graduate and have a job and they're ready to go. Too many students now are graduating and moving back home because they can't afford to live on their own. And I think that that is challenging to both parents and students. So with a plan, not only can you get a free education or a reduced cost education, but your student's going to get there in a much more enjoyable manner. So that would be the most important thing.
Okay. And just to recap, tell just briefly, what did you accomplish with your son? Because what you did there in terms of him getting ready, how quickly, recap that for the audience.
Well, I first would say my son did all the work, just to, you know, straight up. I didn't take any test. I didn't write any essay. I didn't do it. I didn't get into Harvard. But what we were able to accomplish by picking all of the classes in high school strategically, by having him test prep with the right test prep organization in the manner in which he learns, as well as a community service project that he got to write an essay about that's been published all over the place. It's phenomenal. To his leadership, being part of the ASB program and all of that, which got him into college. I didn't do any of it. I just told him, this is what colleges are looking for. And because he worked the plan, he was able to get several full ride scholarships. And when I say full ride, that means everything except his food. So it is amazing that now he has graduated from Harvard in 4 years debt free and will be starting medical school in the fall with absolutely no debt. And that to me is every parent's dream.
I have to applaud that. That is wonderful. I wanted to make sure we got that part of the story out. Because when we talk about looking for somebody to hire, to guide our student, our child through this process, I'd certainly want to pick someone who's done it successfully. So, great. Okay. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, I am worldwide, so the best way to reach me is either going to my website, emailing me, calling. I do offer a free one-hour session where I speak with the family and the students specifically about their situation, and I am incredibly honest and realistic as far as where the student's at and do they have the desire to do what they need to do to go where they want to go. So if somebody wants to reach me, they can go to my website, which is College Ready Plan, and they can reach me that way. Or I'm also doing a free workshop this Tuesday night in Newport Beach, California. So if they're interested in doing that, it's a very low-key, come and ask all your questions type of event.
That's the 7th of February?
Correct.
Okay.
And so if they just want to stop in, there's no selling. It is strictly me just sharing information and you be able to ask questions. And then I also, like I said, am happy to discuss specific needs if somebody just wants to give a call. So there's many different ways, okay. Many avenues.
And just and you have a book that you're working on. Tell us a little bit.
So the book is actually a work in progress. After I finally realized what had just happened to my son and my pocketbook, or padded pocketbook, I should say, after I left my son at Harvard his freshman year, when I got on the airplane, after I cried, because I am a mom, I started writing my book. And my mom is actually the one who encouraged me. And she said, you took a typical middle American young man who is not that much different than any other young man or young woman, and you were able to give him his dream. You need to share this with other people. So I diligently wrote, and then when I landed, life got in the way.
Sure.
And I am still sharing my story, and I speak to hundreds of people, and it just did not happen. Well, this year when my son graduated from Harvard and my daughter headed off to the University of Alabama, I became an empty nester. And my boyfriend really encouraged me, it's time to sit down and write that book. And so it will be released April 15th. Ooh. And I am very excited to be able to share all that I'm sharing right now and so much more about how you do not need to pay full price for college and that every student who wants to go to college has that opportunity.
Great. Anything else that we need to cover?
I would just really encourage parents to get involved. The more, not to the point where you are taking control, but show interest, genuine. You know, ask your student, do they have any thoughts about college? Do they want to tour a college? I always tell people, how do kids know if they want to go to college when they don't even know what it is? So just be that person for them, and it will make all the difference in the world.
Great. Shelley, I want to thank you for taking the time to be here today to educate us, to inspire us, and to share your story with us. And welcome to the Coaching Perspective radio show community.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Well, look, if you're listening live, thank you very much. If you're listening to our podcast, thanks for visiting our site, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out the archives for some of our other shows with fascinating guests. And speaking of guests, we're now scheduling guests for, we're always scheduling guests. So if you're interested in being on the show, just drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. If you want to make sure you get our newsletter, go to the website, sign up there, and you can keep tabs on what fascinating shows you've missed, and you can catch up with the podcast. Well, look, I hope that you've enjoyed the show today. Our goal, as always, is to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. I'll be back with you again next week, February 9th. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.